No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today we have a young up-and-coming sensation, J.I.D., on the podcast. How you living, man?
What's going on, bro? Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too, man. I fucked up. I'm going to be real with you. When the XXL cover came out, yours was the only name that I didn't, like, immediately, like, have, like, a mental familiarity with.
Yeah.
And I did the same thing I did last year. I did it to fucking Kamaya last year, too, where I was just like, who the hell is this person? Oh, my God. The internet came for me so fucking bad. I swear, every fan that you got was in my fucking DMs saying, you're a piece of shit.
Word of my fans. That's crazy.
No, they were right to do it, too. But then when I really knew I fucked up was when Sonny Digital was like, nah, he cool. He from Atlanta, and he cool. And
yeah,
I was
Sonny,
like,
that's the boy. That's my boy.
I mean, you just don't want to piss Sonny Digital off, you know? Just not because he's like some crazy dude that's going to kill you. It's just like, seems like such a nice guy that I'm like, I don't want to fucking, you know, upset him. As soon as he vouched for you, I was like, God, I shouldn't have said that. Why did I say that again?
Did you erase the tweet?
Yes.
Bro, you can't erase tweets, bro. You got to stand behind it. I said what I said. You got to be with that. You got to have that mindset with it, bro. Fuck
Very
it.
Real. No, but I was pissed off, too, because like when I wrote that tweet, I did not realize that you were Dreamville, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm very cautious in my relationship with J. Cole at this point in my life because I felt like, you know, he gave me a good second chance. But, you know, he kind of blamed me for, like, all the memery at a certain point.
That's one of the interviews that I saw, the one he did. I seen the X interview. And I seen a couple of them. But mm-hmm. that one, he tried to introduce you to the world of Christ.
He tried a little bit. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't, like, going in trying to, like, really get me on some religious shit. But that was just an awkward day because I was so out of breath. I had just been listening to this podcast about religion. I'm, like, totally out of breath. Run into the store because they told me J. Cole's there. And he's like, so what were you doing? And I just immediately started telling him about this podcast I was listening to. So then not only am I meeting J. Cole out of breath, just got to the store, but I also am talking about something that is, you know, one of the biggest things you can talk about.
Yeah, that was a good one, though. I feel like that shit was needed, I guess.
I mean, if J. Cole came in here and sat down for, like, a full-length interview, I feel like we could get in some deep shit. But, I mean, that's why I'm just hyped because, like, I never had anybody from his label either on the show before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's go. I want to go all the way back. You were born in East Atlanta?
Yeah, East Atlanta, bro.
Okay, so let's talk about what your upbringing was like and how it formed the man that we know today.
I'm the youngest of seven. I got a big family. We just moved around a lot, like, mm-hmm. all throughout the East. We stayed in countless places, bro, from just all over East Atlanta, all over the zone six, closer to like Stone Mountain and shit like that. Like, we moved out there closer I got to like college and shit like that.
What were your parents doing? Were they religious? I feel like if you have seven kids, you need to be religious.
Damn, that is so false.
No? Yeah, or you just really don't like condoms, okay.
No, it's a blended family, you feel me? Hmm. So my mom was married before. Oh,
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And yeah, like, we pretty black people religious, you know what I'm saying? We believe in shit. And
you grew up in the church, or were you like singing, or were you like doing anything in particular?
Nah, I grew up in the church though. I used to go to church like every Sunday and stuff like that, but I wasn't like too involved. Mm. I don't know. We played a lot of sports and shit. Like, I came up playing sports and shit like that with my brothers and stuff.
Oh, that's what's up. Yeah, because a lot of times when I interview people and they say they grew up in the church, I then realize that, like, the musical influence, like, came from that because they were just doing that every weekend, like, as a kid and shit.
Yeah, that's another, that's a stereotype.
Oh.
I think. I don't know. I feel like music just happens, you know what I'm saying? It just right. comes out of wherever.
I just feel there's a lot of energy in that church environment. A lot of kids, like, if they didn't have that, like, once a week where they go into church, then they probably wouldn't be around music as much as, like, you know, they end up being. So it's, like, a good influence sometimes, you know?
No, you're right, though. You're right.
So, but you were more into sports? Was that, like, your main passion as a kid?
Yeah, it definitely was. Just because all my big brothers and shit, well, two of my big brothers played sports and shit like that, and I used to, like, watch them, and you know what I'm saying? You follow what your brother's doing. But I had another brother. He was in jail and shit like that, so I didn't really meet him till later, but my two older brothers, like, ran track, played football. Then I got three more sisters.
Yeah. So you were the youngest one. So how old was, like, your oldest brother when you were, like, you know, like, how many years older than you were?
They super detached. I'm the closest person to me is six. She may be 6 years.
Oh, okay.
My sister is 6 years older than me. And, yeah, everybody else is, like, super detached.
Right.
Because I kind of grew up, like, not alone, but everybody was, like, already out of high school and shit like that. And having kids and just doing their lives and shit like that.
I mean, like, the common conception is that when a parent or when a family has a lot of kids, that by the time they have like the last one, that their attitude about parenting has sort of like changed a lot.
Veteran type shit. Right?
Right. And they realize like, damn, the kid's gonna be all right.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe we don't have to like guard them so closely because they're probably gonna end up all right. True or false?
No, that makes sense.
Okay.
100%.
So you think your parents are a little bit more liberal with you?
What do you mean?
Like, just, you know, I feel like with me and my sister, like, my parents were trying to be hella strict about, like, keeping me in, like, making me not stay out super late and everything. And then with my sister, like, they just realized, like, fuck, he's going to, like, the kid is going to do whatever they want to do, really. So it's not, it's kind of pointless for us to, like, really go hard trying to be, like, a prison warden for them daily.
Nah, they weren't, I feel like they were veterans by then because they older and stuff like that. I feel like they was pretty, like, lenient with me. And I was always, like, oh shit, watching what my big brother and sisters do. And I never used to be like, because they was crazy. Everybody in my family, like, super psyched out.
So you got to see a lot of. You,
not in a bad way, but you know.
But were you the more, like, laid back? Like, not so. You weren't acting out? Were you, like, getting in trouble in school all the time and shit? Or were you more low key?
You know what I'm saying? The same trouble that everybody get in. Just little fights and goddamn, just life shit. But nothing too crazy, like, that'd get me kicked. Well, I did get kicked out of school, but that was later. But
what'd you get kicked out of school for?
It's a long story.
Really?
We got time, right?
Yeah, we got plenty of time. I'm sure it's a great story.
I don't even want to tell that story. It's not like, oh, shit, like what? It's like you're some badass. Bullshit. It's just, bro, it's some bullshit.
You got in trouble for some stupid shit?
Nah, it was actually in college.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was in college for a few years and then got kicked out. It was just some stupid shit. God, do I want to tell that shit on No Jumper? Is this the time?
Now I'm so fascinated. You better at least make something up.
Bro, it was just, I was just high as fuck, just doing dumb shit in school. I was living like a rock star because it was like closer to like my last year and shit. Mm-hmm. Niggas was just like, I don't know. It's not even cool to tell, bro. It don't even matter, bro.
Okay.
Look it up.
You could Google it.
I don't know. You might.
Okay, but you said you're on some high shit. Are we talking about weed or are we talking about like getting loaded?
Nah, I don't really, you know what I'm saying? Everybody dibble dabble, but I ain't really like big. I smoke weed and shit, and it was probably like around the. I was drinking like lean and shit, but that was light shit. That was like a few years ago.
You gotta try that out in East Atlanta. You gotta try the lean lifestyle out, right?
Yeah, just testing shit as you grow up and shit. But it really wasn't like too crazy. We should just do that shit on some college experimentation shit.
I mean, I just feel like if I was like a rap kid, like a rap fan growing up in Atlanta, and every single one of your like Atlanta heroes has at least like put in some time on the lean, that I just feel like I would be like, damn, I gotta find out what that shit's about.
Yeah, we did that shit when it was like around the Gucci like high school era. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then in college, we was doing that shit for a little bit, but it really wasn't, like, that serious.
Yeah.
Not no, like, addictive type shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not some, like, lean hater or whatever. I've definitely seen it have some bad effects on people's lives. But then at the same time, like, I was around Gucci the other day, and I'm like, this motherfucker literally has a six-pack. Like, that is way cooler than drinking lean and getting fucked up. Having a six-pack is tight.
I'm happy about everything Gucci doing right now. Mm. It showed progress. I know people be goddamn hating and saying, woo-woo-woo, just because they want that nigga to, like, I guess they want him to just fuck niggas up. You know what I'm saying? Be a jailbird or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
But I fuck with Gucci. I like what he's doing right now. That positivity shit is in.
I love what he's doing. I love that he's still pretty popular and that people seem like they're really fucking with his lifestyle. Like, for me personally, at this point in my life, I would way rather see Gucci happy as fuck, going to the gym at 8 in the morning, because this is really, like, on his Instagram, he's literally in a fucking Lamborghini going and working out at 8 in the morning, going home to his beautiful wife. I'm like, this shit is dope. But at the same time, I understand a lot of people who are watching rap, they want to watch a fucking train wreck.
Yeah, on you know? Some entertainment shit. But that nigga really straightened up his life, which is super fire. Yeah. And he from, like, you know what I'm saying, the same hood, same area and shit. So I like seeing shit like that go positive for the A, you know what I'm saying?
Beautiful. Yeah, it's just great to see people like grow old in a cool way, because a lot of times, like, around the time that people reach the point in their life where they stop doing drugs, stop partying, that's when their music gets like boring and the public kind of stops caring about them, you know? It's nice to see that he like can clean up his whole life and that people still want to see him win, you know?
Nah, that's fast. I agree with that.
Yeah. So let's talk about your early like rap influences, because I mean, you make music that it just sounds so different than like than the average. Your music?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's fire. What you listen to?
I mean, I listen to the album a bunch of times. I've watched all the music videos and stuff. I mean, I'm just interested to hear what your influences are, what you were into, like especially when you were younger, that sort of led you in that direction. Because the direction you went in is sort of like a non-Atlanta sound. I hope that's not offensive, but it doesn't sound like the typical stuff coming out of Atlanta.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's better said. It's like not the typical shit. Mm. But it's Atlanta as fuck. Like, I'm from the A, bro.
Right.
So.
And it's not like Atlanta's simple. It's not all trap music. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Atlanta, hold on. It's a lot of black people in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? It's, I guess it's like black Hollywood, they may say, whatever. And that shit just like, I don't know, black people like super talented. And mm-hmm. it's like a clusterfuck of every type of goddamn eclectic sounds or the goddamn trap shit or whatever the fuck. Like, that's why I think Atlanta possessed, bro. It just got so many fucking dualities and faces to it. So
yeah.
I feel like what I'm doing is just like another piece of the cloth. You know what I'm saying? It's just my version, how I'm telling the shit like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
So what about like when you were in, all right, let's say you're 14, 15, you're on the bus to school. Do you take the bus?
Hell yeah. Okay. I used to have to take like 3 buses to get to school because we stay out of the district, but.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Damn, I used to have to take the bus and it was like a 15-minute bus and it was still terrible. I hated that shit so much.
Yeah. What you saying?
Okay, you're 14 or 15, you're on the bus. What do you listen to most likely on your headphones? Like, what was the shit that actually like spoke to you?
Bro, I grew up broke as fuck. Niggas ain't had no headphones.
I ain't even talking Beats by Dre. It could be the regular iPhone ones, nah?
Nah, for real, I ain't had that type of shit. Of course you gonna share music with your friends and shit. You see some shit, but niggas ain't really have cable either, bro. It was really trash. I ain't have cable until I got like 16, 17. Really? That's when my mama, cause my mama, she was working for, well, I ain't gonna tell a nigga what my mom worked, but
that's
she's
good,
working
good
for like, yeah. She's working for a company and she just kept, you know what I'm saying, rising up. She's been working there since it was goddamn shit, and now she got them doing a thing. But the older we got, we started getting more shit.
Mm.
So I ain't never really like listening to music outside of like maybe at school and my partner got some headphones or goddamn CD player or some shit like that. And then when I got home, my brothers and sisters had hella CDs, like thousands, bro. So if I had some time, I'd just be sitting there going through their CDs and listening to what they listen to. They was like the real influence behind that shit. Like, my pops and my mom musical as fuck, but my brother and sister had like everybody. I'm the youngest of 7, you know what I'm saying? So everybody had their own different tastes, and I used to just go like and listen to it. I always spent time with them and stuff like that.
Was there a lot of drama in the house about like CDs getting stolen?
It was always drama about something. Not even CDs, bro. It was just life drama, but yeah. It was,
I mean, I miss those days. Like, when I used to, like, get in my car and I just had a CD binder, like, this thick and just go through that thing. That was just such a beautiful feeling because that really spoke to, like, who you were as a music fan.
Yeah, 100%, bro. CDs has got – oh, they did Best Buy just do away with them shits?
I saw that on Twitter,
shit
yeah.
That shit is going to be a crazy pastime to remember, like, tapes, vinyls, and goddamn now CDs. Like,
yeah. It's weird to try to explain to young people now, like, no, when I was 15, like, I was spending all my money going to the CD store because if I didn't, then I was stuck listening to the same 4 CDs and I just could not handle that depressive shit. Like, I needed new shit.
Nah, niggas used to illegally download so much shit and make mixtapes out of all of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I was doing fucked up shit. I was mailing tapes back and forth with people and like making a copy of the tape and then sending it back and shit. Like, man, we used to do fucking weird shit to save $10 back in the day.
Yeah, that's crazy, yeah.
So like when did you, like, so you were just listening to everything like through your older siblings and stuff mostly when you were younger?
Yeah, but shit stuck with me, you know what I'm saying? Like the typical great shit. I used to be fucking like Goody Mob and Outkast, of course. And then one of my older brothers always played New York hip hop. He just had a thing for lyricism and shit like that. And my sister was into like, like Tread Daddy and
right.
and like I don't know, just different stuff, bro. Just different stuff.
Yeah, that's the beautiful part about being the youngest sibling, because you got all these older siblings who are like they're all going in their separate directions, and then you get to get a little bit of all of it.
Yeah.
That's fire.
Yeah, and all of them, like my family, pretty smart. You know what I'm saying? Even though it wasn't like the best circumstances, everybody like pretty. They got their head like straight as far as like a business or a job or some like real shit.
Mm-hmm.
But so that shit just, I don't know, just helped out.
When did it start to pop in your head like I could be the dude holding the mic?
After I kicked out of college, I wasn't trying to be a rapper all my life.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? That shit really just came to fruition probably like 4 or 5 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Wait,
like,
how old are you right now?
How old do you think I am?
I don't know, because like the way you're talking, I'm starting to think you're like mid to, you know, 25, 27, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Um,
pretty good, right?
Like,
pieced it all together. But I mean, you look young though. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. So yeah, bro. So I grew up real like when niggas had when computer first started. I'm like part of that generation. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? The young old niggas, not old niggas though. But
I feel that
like,
too.
But remember the part like when you was in school and you had to dial up and shit like that. Mm-hmm. How old is you?
34, but I remember very very well.
Yeah, the dial up and shit like that, bro. Yeah. Like, that's the era I remember. Niggas all got the phones now and shit, like, all mm-hmm. the kids and shit.
Way too easy.
Yeah, it's way too, it's too much. It's not too much access, but everything is accessible.
It's changed everything. Right, like, that whole thing I'm talking about going to the store and spending all your money on CDs, now you can go to SoundCloud and listen to every song ever recorded. Yeah. You spend $10 a month on Apple Music, you get literally every song pretty much ever recorded.
No, that's a fact.
Yeah, it's just, it's a crazy dynamic. It just changes, like, how people view media.
Yeah.
And it's weird for somebody like you too, I guess, because like you know, when you look at the reaction that like, you know, rap albums got back in the day where people really had time to process it.
Yeah.
They had time to listen to Illmatic 400 times. And now it just feels like it's very, very hard to like get to the point where your fan base will actually like give a fuck that much about any single song or project.
Yeah, because everything moves so fast. Mm-hmm. The whole industry is moving fast. There's music coming out every day. It's a new artist, new video, somebody else going viral. So it's cool. I kind of fuck with it. I fuck with the industry a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's weird to say.
No. It's like, well, when you say you fuck with the industry, what do you mean by that?
I just like being able to take care of myself and my mm-hmm. family and shit like that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the most of it.
I mean, even like the fucked up shit in the music business, I still love being able to see it. Yeah. You know, like even when there's like an artist that gets signed to a janky ass contract with a producer or some shit like that, and it's like a terrible situation, I'm still so interested to pay attention to what is going on so yeah. I can learn like what the fuck is up and like how not to end up in a bad situation myself. Yeah. Like I've always been that kind of person where I want to be up close and personal to the industry side of things so I can like understand.
Yeah.
I don't know. But okay, so you're talking about becoming a rapper or deciding you want to start doing it. Like what was the epiphany or the moment?
I've always been able to like make music. I already had a good ear for this shit, and you know what I'm saying? I knew what I liked. And if I always had a thought in the back of my head, I knew I was gonna do some shit great. Mm. I knew it, but I never you never really like know what's gonna unfold. Like you don't know what your plans is or whatever, or what's in the plans for you. I don't know. I always knew I was gonna do some fire shit, and I was always good with writing, and goddamn, I love like English class and shit like that. I hate like, I don't know. I never fuck with like anything else but like English and like math or some shit like that in science. I ain't fuck with like history class. All that shit's bullshit. But in school, I always fuck with like literature and shit like that.
See, I was always into literature and like English and shit. And then, but I liked history, but I just could not fuck with math or science. Like that shit just would not work in my brain.
Yeah, I was pretty good at that shit because I got a good memory. I just remember like formulas and shit like that. But
I'm so jealous of people who have good memories. If I could have anything, I would have a good memory.
Yeah, nah, that's probably why I'm pretty good at rapping, because I remember shit a lot.
That's like an underrated like side of being a rapper, is just being able to fucking remember a shitload of verses.
Even if it's not yours, just learning that shit or rapping a song. So rapping like what the fuck? I used to rap like Renegade, that song with Jay-Z and Eminem. I used to know that shit word for word, and I used to rap with it. So I can kind of see like sometimes if I rap into a song, I'm like, oh, I can do this because I rap this same song, you know what I'm saying? Or just different styles and shit. It's just different ways to to skin a cat or something like that.
A million ways to skin a cat? I never really understood that.
It's not skin a cat. Niggas don't skin cats.
I mean, but that is the saying, right? It's like there's a million ways to skin a cat. Personally, I never skinned a cat. And I think anyone who has is a fucking weirdo.
It's crazy whoever came up with that saying.
That's a terrible thing to do to a cat.
But I don't even know. I just always got good memory, and I always like enjoyed certain shit, bro. Particular types of music. I didn't used to like shit, and I used to stand firm behind it. I always had a good like opinion on what my taste is as far as like my palate as far as music and shit like that. So I don't even remember what year, but whatever year I kicked out, 2013, 2012, something like that. Whenever I kicked out of school, I had to make a decision because I was playing football at the time. I was like playing ball in college and shit like that. Got kicked out. I just had to make a decision. I wasn't finna go work no regular job. Like, that shit just not me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I just started rapping. My boy is Earth Gang. You know who Earth Gang is?
Well, I heard you talking about him, yeah.
They're fucking amazing. Look them up, please. Listen to that. They was on my album, if you heard the album.
Yeah. And that's Atlanta?
Yeah, they're from Atlanta. Okay. They're from the west side. I'm from the east side of Atlanta. But we met up in school and shit like that.
Right.
And we started talking about, because that's when I started playing around and rapping and shit like that. But I wasn't really taking it serious. I started taking it serious because I seen how serious them niggas were taking it.
Right.
And they was really like, you know what I'm saying? They still are to this moment. Like, they're great as hell. But that shit just kind of inspired a nigga to like, all right, you should try this shit because niggas is fucking with you. Like, for the little shit that I was doing at the time, that was just like little tapes and shit like that, little songs I was putting out here and there.
But they, like, that sort of gave you the confidence of like, damn, maybe I can actually fuck around and do this.
Yeah. And then when I figured out I was going to do that shit, it was kind of like my clear-cut decision. I was like, fuck it, I'm finna do this shit. I really started studying this shit. I started studying what motherfuckers was great at, you know what I'm saying? Niggas that fail, niggas who got them. Just all type of walks of life in the music industry and shit like that. And I made that shit like my business to try and figure that shit out. Like, why is this person great, bro? What is he doing different? What is she doing different to be, you know what I'm saying, the top of what they doing? Because I'm not really, like, in this shit to be, like, in the middle class of rap, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to do some elite shit.
Right.
I want to be the best.
That's fascinating because, I mean,
in a sense, you know what I'm saying?
I ask people that kind of shit all the time, and I feel like that's probably the best answer I ever got, because that's probably what I would tell, like, a young kid who wanted to, like, start, like, any kind of career, is you just really got to be able to look at the people who came before you and try to, like, really gain a full understanding of what made them great or what position they played in the game. What kind of conclusions? I know it's like a super broad thing, but like, do you have any specific moments or things that you noticed about what made other people great or what people's roles in the game were that made you like have a stronger opinion about things?
Yeah, it was always like little moments. I was like, oh shit, this is what turned them up and shit like that. And then me and my team, everybody that I fuck with, we always had these conversations about these great motherfuckers, and we watch that shit closely even today in the game. Like, you know who at the top of this shit, you know what I'm saying? You know what the fuck they doing and how they like manipulating little things in the game to make them be great. So I don't know, I'm on the same shit. I'm just on the same journey because I don't know, I'm not just doing this shit for nothing.
Right.
I'm making money, I'm doing all this shit. I'm helping, like, I don't know, I'm trying to change lives and shit like that in a positive way. Well, however the fuck I can.
No, that's cool, because a lot of people, I feel like they sort of like to take on this perspective of like, oh, I'm fucked up and I'm just great and all this shit's just happening to me. And that's not really how the world works. In reality, you got to like have an idea, go out and get it. And motherfuckers are doing that whether they acknowledge it or not. So that's like cool to hear you say that, just like that you have a very specific a specific goal. Would you describe yourself as like a strategic person? Like, you have a long-term strategy of like how you want this shit to go?
Yeah, slick. I'm hella strategic and shit. That's how I've been moving the whole time. That's how, like, niggas maneuvered onto the goddamn freshman list. Like, you know what I'm saying? We dropped a good project last year. She got notoriety. Like, okay, of course, a nigga signed a J. Cole, but that ain't the only thing, because I'm not the first nigga signing him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I'm the first one who was on the list, I guess, whatever. I'm not saying nothing about anybody else, like, being lesser or anything, because all the motherfuckers is great.
But if you want to get into that position, I mean, then there's strategic moves that you can make, even just about that one specific goal. It's like you got to build the relationship with XXL. You got to go there. You got to deal with them. You got to.
They just good people, bro. Niggas fuck with me. I didn't choose myself. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I just put out my goddamn art and let that shit speak for itself. And I guess they were just motivated, inspired enough to like put a nigga on there. Like, that shit is great. Like, I really fuck with that. Because there's a whole lot of other motherfuckers that got way more followers, doing way bigger numbers and shit like that. But they put me on there. And I respect all of that shit. Like, I fuck with all the music out there, bro. It's 1,000 motherfuckers I could think of that could have been there, but I don't know. I get them niggas to fuck with me.
Yeah.
That shit cool.
But so did you have that as like a specific thing in your head? Like, I want to get on the cover this year or just in general?
It wasn't like, okay, everybody see the freshman list and be like, nigga, if you somebody that want to do music and shit, that's like something that you always want. I don't give a fuck who it is. Like, unless you just came out and did some goddamn Cardi B type shit and you just that fucking lit off jump. But that's not happening like every single day. I don't know. I figure if I ever got an opportunity, I wouldn't turn that shit down. You know what I'm saying? Just like I did. Like,
when you
all it is opportunity.
When you ended up doing the cipher with Ski Mask, like, was that your idea or his idea, or did they group people together based on who they thought?
They grouped that shit up.
Oh, really?
They
okay. Grouped,
yeah. That's my boy. That nigga talented as fuck.
Is that when you met him or you hung out with him before?
Nah, that was the first time I met him.
Okay.
And we just cool as hell. Like, you're a good nigga.
Yeah.
Everybody though pretty much cool as fuck, bro. That shit was an experience.
That was one of the more epic moments of the whole XXL cover, was just seeing you two rap together, just because it's like different worlds, but like both super lyrical and like so different, and it was just like crazy entertaining.
Nah, that shit was fun as hell, bro. That whole day, like, I wouldn't trade this shit with none. I had a good time fucking with XXL. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, just the whole like concept of what the XXL cover even is just crazy as hell. When you think about all these rappers who got big ass egos and they normally are just not around nine other rappers.
Yeah, unless it's like a festival or some shit.
Yeah, they just, like, it's very like a hard thing for a lot of rappers to put themselves into that position. And it kind of says a lot about how important the list is that motherfuckers really do this important. Every year, you know?
Nigga be tight over that list, bro. Yeah.
If I called every rapper in my phone book and I was like, yo, come over here and rap in front of the camera right now, they'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know?
Nah, that's real shit, I feel you. But nah, that shit was cool, bro. You know what I'm saying? It was just another opportunity, bro.
Oh yeah.
That shit humbling to get.
So early on though, like who are you did you ever make beats, or like who are you getting beats from in the beginning?
Shit. Early on it was hard as hell to get beats. But my homie from Earth Gang, nigga used to make beats. Nigga used to go crazy on the YouTube, ripping them shits off and just, you know what I'm saying? It's still probably beats out there that I was using from YouTube. Mm. And
everybody on the tight beats to start out.
Straight up. Yeah. All the tight beats and shit. And then I used to watch Smack DVD a lot, bro.
Wow, man. You are old school. That was a great era.
Bro, I used to watch Smack. I still watch that shit. Them rap battles and shit like that. That shit is fire, bro. Because that shit is an art in itself. Like, that shit hard as hell, bro.
When the other day, I almost tweeted, like, yo, somebody needs to send me a full DVD set, a Smack DVD, because I feel like I could get a lot of ideas from watching that shit like I used to when I was a kid.
Smack was fire, bro. I still remember all of them battles. Murder Mook, like, one of the greatest. All them niggas, bro. I used to watch all this shit.
I mean, yeah. Some of the stuff seems crazy as fuck, though, in retrospect. Like, people just standing on their corner, just, like, pulling guns out on the corner and just screaming into the camera and shit. Like, I almost feel like that's why it was kind of appropriate the Smack ended at a certain point, because it just felt like it was getting so crazy.
Nah, that shit was crazy as hell. And it still be. Them niggas got a whole, like, rap battle league, bro. That shit tight. I still be watching that shit.
You ever think about that, rap battling?
Nope.
Nah.
I don't want to get too, like, I be on my, I know I like, you know what I'm saying, lyricists and all this shit, but I'm like a songwriter, you know what I'm saying? I'm a writer in itself, but I don't want to get too caught up in, oh shit, he just the booty, but die, the boom. But like, nigga, I do a lot of different shit. I ain't trying to get caught up in one thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a shame that doesn't, like, that somehow being a battle rapper seems like it kind of prohibits you from, like, maybe doing other stuff in rap. It shouldn't be that way.
I could.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I couldn't. I'd probably be really good at that shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm good at making jokes or whatever. Like, why would it, whatever. But I don't really care to do that shit.
I mean, rap is like that too. I had a rapper tell me one time, he's like, yo, I could put a video every week on YouTube and get 1 million views from just doing a crazy ass freestyle, but then nobody's gonna respect me in the real rap game.
Yeah, it's a fine line, bro. It's a fine line. Who's let me think who did some mainstream shit from off of rap battle, or at least that's like, well, actually, now that I think about it, like, of course, like, the lyricists and shit, like, the Coles and the Kendricks and Drakes, like, them niggas are, like, running the industry as far as, like, making songs and having substance about that shit. So that's, like, the highest selling shit, but, like, lyricism is not, like, I don't know, it's not, like, what am I trying to say? Like, niggas still fuck with it, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Niggas is still going platinum and all of that shit.
Yeah, I mean, there's this idea that, like, lyricism's over and everything, but then when you actually really look at the highest level of rap and, like, who's really out here selling rap records and stuff, it's like a lot of the dudes, the biggest fan base is Cole, Kendrick, even somebody like Drake is, like, rapping a lot. Like, you know, there's Logic, somebody like him, you know, people still have an appetite huge, for that bro. Shit. Yeah, Logic's huge.
That's my dog, too. Yeah, bro, I fuck with that shit, bro. I fuck with all this shit. I'm just, I don't know. I'd be happy to be here, bro. I would just broke it fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like,
how long
shit.
Ago? When you think about it. When did you start to not feel broke anymore? Because that's a big moment in every man's life.
I still feel slip broke, bro. I could just goddamn, I could feed myself now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's like the best shit about it. And I can help a nigga out if they need something, but I ain't like, you know what I'm saying? I'm straight. I'm straight.
Right. But, like, I mean, there's a big difference between, like, being able to wake up every day and eat a couple good meals a day and, like, having a roof over your head versus how you feel. Like, when you think about that time period in your life when you really were uncertain about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of, there's a lot of pain and a lot of, like, you know, being scared involved in that.
Yeah, bro. That's what goddamn drive needs to be great, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the challenge.
Yeah.
Get money and then still be able to make great art. And all things considered, when you look at your whole career, probably look at that. The earliest music you made is the easiest shit, because that's when you really had a reason to be going for it, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. My earliest, I still be like, I don't know. I keep that mindset and shit like that, bro. And I'm just hella sensitive to my surroundings and shit. Like, everything I try and use to make something out of it. Of course, nigga go through shit every day. Like, niggas ain't perfect and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know.
When did you feel like your music started to, like, come together, when people started to really fuck with it, or when you started to, like, hit your stride and, like, figure out who you were as an artist?
Probably goddamn. I'm still figuring this shit out, bro. I just know what I like to do, you know what I'm saying, what I'm trying to do. But I'm still figuring it out, like, what type of artist I'm going to be. And I don't want to make the same shit over and over. I always got to, like, try and evolve like that. But, no, I'm still trying to figure this shit out for real. But I got a good grip on, like, what direction I want to go in.
Mm.
Yeah.
Are there any, like, artists, like, from before your time that you look at in particular that, like, just really, like, summarize, like, what it is to be a great rapper?
Yeah. Of course, like, niggas like Jay-Z. Like, he's, like, the fucking epitome of what everything, what everybody, like, try to be and shit like that. Everybody fuck with Jigga. And I don't know, so many.
Great rapper, made crazy huge radio hits, but never seemed like he was a sellout.
Yeah.
Like, that's the hardest thing to pull off in rap. And Jay-Z is, like, the number one rapper of all time because he did that.
He aged gracefully, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He the first, I feel like he one of the oldest to drop a project like he did with the most recent one, and the one he just did with his wife. Like, mm-hmm. they doing shit that's, you know what I'm saying, people not doing and hasn't been done before. I fuck with shit like that. I fuck with, like, pushing, like, the culture forward, because rap is like a deadline with age and shit like mm-hmm. that. That's what it seems like, kind of. But with rock and roll and shit like that, genres that, like, black people made and shit, it's like motherfuckers, like, who still, like, the Rolling Stones, they still fucking
mm-hmm.
doing shows and shit like that, and all them fucking old ass rock bands and shit like that. I feel like rap could be the same, but it just depends, because generations gonna go, and then yeah. once you get a certain age, niggas start getting tired and shit like that. Like, a bunch of fucking 40-year-olds, like,
I feel like that sort of, like, ecosystem is kind of developing sometimes, because I'll see these flyers for shows out here, and, like, the headliners are, like, Snoop Dogg and Ice Cube, and it's, like, really,
but
like,
them niggas, even Snoop aged gracefully, Ice Cube.
They're both good examples. That's true. Ice T, because they got into acting shit.
Yeah.
Even Dr. Dre, because he goes and makes $1 billion off selling headphones. I mean,
yeah, all of that shit, bro. All of that shit is, like, transcending hip hop and making that shit live longer, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So the fucking genre don't fade away. You know what I'm saying?
You ever throw on the radio out here and hear the classic hip hop radio?
No.
That's a beautiful thing, because there's always been classic rock radio, but yeah. now, like, what's it called? I can't even remember. But there's a radio station out here that just plays, like, old school rap. But it might be, like, they'll play some Ludacris from 2001, and then they'll play Dr. Dre, and they'll play, you know, it's like, it's just nice, because it's like, if there's a radio station that's playing Led Zeppelin and Rolling Stones and shit, we should definitely have that for rap too, you know?
Yeah, 100%, bro. But I ain't never heard that radio station, bro. I probably need to find it.
I'm blowing it, because it's like a famous LA radio station. Chris, let me get my phone too. So let's talk about, like, when, so you're making all this music and stuff when you're first starting to get into it and stuff. When did, like, your, like, just talk about how your career started to progress past that, and when you started to take it to a little bit of a bigger level.
Like, after, nigga got kicked out, came back to Atlanta, Earth Gang was already there. So niggas is just doing shows. I usually just come perform a show, like a song or some shit on they set.
Mm-hmm.
But then niggas started knowing my name a little bit. I started getting my own shows and shit. So we ran through the whole little, like, Atlanta circuit, bro, with everybody. It was goddamn, you know, Key, Mako, fucking Rari.
Love Key, for the record.
Yeah,
one of my favorites,
bro,
of all time.
Black. It was a whole, like, the 2-9 era. It was just a whole little scene that was going on in Atlanta. It was called the...
I didn't know Black was, like, coming up in that whole era, but that makes sense because he's on your project and shit.
Yeah, bro. Like, okay. He was around the same time, bro. All of us was coming up and doing this shit, and that shit just, I don't know, the cream rolled, I ain't gonna say the cream rolled to the top, but the niggas just goddamn made they fucking career paths, you know what I'm saying? Niggas came up out of that shit, and that shit made everybody better. Everybody who came out of that whole little era, like, at least had an opportunity of doing some great shit. Either they goddamn still doing it, or, you know what I'm saying, they doing whatever else, but niggas made that shit. Niggas made the best of that shit.
Do you look at it like maybe it's kind of better that you had, like, more of, like, a slower bubble to the top? Because when you look at somebody like Mako, like, his career exploded and then just, like, he... And it's not even really his fault, because he just had issues with his management and his label shit. Which, I mean, I guess maybe it's still his fault. But, you know, that's just, like, there's a lot of shit that happens in somebody's career and stuff. From your perspective, you've had more of, like, a slow grind to the top in comparison. It's probably, like, actually kind of beneficial, huh?
Bro, I love the way, like, it's more, when shit more potent, bro. Like, I ain't saying that my shit, like, whatever, but I'm saying, like, you take what I'm trying to say. I don't want to be an asshole. I don't know. My grind was goddamn just different from everybody else, and I knew it was going to be like this. I had indications just because the type of music I was making and shit like that. I wasn't trying to do no fly-by-night shit. I wasn't trying to do no shit just to get on the radio. Like, I didn't really give a fuck about that. Mm. I was really just trying to give my story, my personal, you know what I'm saying, the shit that I've been through and the shit that I'm still telling, bro. Like, I wasn't thinking about nobody else at that time period. You know what I'm saying? I was fucking with my niggas. We was making our music. Niggas just trying to be the best at that shit. Niggas weren't worried about, like, what was going on, because everybody literally blew up before us. Mm. That's how it felt. Like, I feel everybody had their opportunities and shit. Shit came a little bit later for us, but niggas finna be her. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up. So, like, at a certain point, was getting signed part of the plan, or what was your attitude on that, and how did you, like, kind of come around to that? Were you doing a bunch of label meetings, or did you just get noticed? Or
I was mean with niggas. Yeah, I was mean with niggas. A lot of niggas, like, I guess they ain't know if it was there or not or whatever the fuck it was. But a lot of niggas was fucking with me. I almost took a couple deals, but it wasn't, like, the main focus until that shit felt right. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And the way this shit happened now was, like, on some organic shit. Like, some slow grinding, like, meet, you know what I'm saying? Like, some dating type shit. And that shit worked out perfect because we ended up signing with some, you know what I'm saying, some good people.
Hell yeah. When did, so how did the inevitable conversation with Dreamville start to unfold? Or, like, what was that like? And what was your opinion of J. Cole as, like, a younger man before you realized you might be in business with him?
He was always dope. You know what I'm saying? I just listened here and there and shit like that, and I always knew he was dope as fuck. And then through the Atlanta circuit, like, meeting people and all that shit, Earth Gang got picked up to go on a tour with Ab Soul, and I just went with him and shit. Just came out doing a song every night, one of the shows. And Boss was on the tour too. Mm-hmm. Boss was on that tour, right? Boss was on the same tour, and he was Dreamville. Cole came to one of the shows, saw Earth Gang perform, he saw me perform with them and shit like that. And then he already knew about them before. Mm-hmm. But them niggas been putting in work since, like probably, I feel like they started dropping songs like 2009, 2010, wow, something like that. And they was making dope ass shit. Like, they was on the wavelengths of people and shit like that. So we met, bruh. And then we just had a goddamn slow build, bro. And he was just a good-ass guy. He genuine as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Real nigga. So that shit just happened like it was supposed to.
Do you remember, like, the first time you met him or had a conversation with him? And, like, I'm just interested on, like, the chemistry that you guys have together and shit.
Nah, that's my dog. The first time I met him was at that show. Mm. Another time he came to the city. He came to our crib. We was all staying together somewhere else. And then we moved into this nice-ass house we're staying in right now. I'm standing in. But he pulled up to the crib because he had a concert. He was doing a tour with YG, I feel like, mm-hmm, and Jeremiah. So he came to the crib, playing the music and shit like that. Earth Gang played the music, I played him shit. And we were just going through it. He was, you know what I'm saying? I guess he was blown away. I guess he fucked with the shit because we always stayed in contact. And then his, like, one of his childhood friends named Seb Brown, mm-hmm, that was like my nigga. You know what I'm saying? We, like, used to smoke and shit, do all of that shit while we was on tour. And we always had a rapport with each other. Like, I sent him music all the time. He was playing this shit with Cole the whole time. So Cole was hearing all the music and shit like that. And I don't know, it just stemmed from that, bro, because there's some genuine niggas over there, like at Dreamville. So, and we from the A, so we brought a whole different flavor to the shit.
For real, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, it actually is weird because, like, you have, like, a very similar energy to J. Cole from my, like, experience from talking to him and stuff. It's like, I feel like you guys are on, like, a pretty similar wavelength in terms of, like, personality type or, like, energy level. Like, certain people just seem like they mesh well together, you know? And I'm, like, very not surprised that you guys seem like you get along well.
Yeah, that's my dog, bro. He's just a good nigga.
You want me to tell you what he said earlier when I asked him? I asked him, I said, listen, we're going to do this interview. I want to just know what made you want to work with him, what made you want to get him signed and everything. You excited for this?
Nope.
He said, so much shit. The first thing was how gifted he was with putting his words together. But the thing that solidified it was when I saw his work ethic and his hunger. A lot of people want it, but they're not willing to put in the work. He's not one of those people. His pretension is GOAT status. And yes, he put the GOAT emoji. He didn't write out GOAT.
That's why.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he's a good guy, man. That's my nigga.
Let's talk about the work ethic and the hunger, because that's pretty... There's a lot of people out there with some talent, and there's a lot of people who can make a good song. But, like, being able to, like, you know, when I look at people who are successful, a lot of times it's, like, the people who have the audacity to sit in the studio 8 hours a day and just work their asses off.
Yeah, that me. I just sit there, bro, for months... Years, for real, my whole process, bro, I would literally wake up in the morning, I goddamn roll up, write a couple songs, go downstairs and record myself, and I do that shit for hours every day. Like, that 1,000-hour shit, that 10,000-hour shit, bro, yeah. I did that shit twice over, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was my whole thing, bro. Just trying to perfect my pen, because at first, you know, when you start rapping shit, you rap about bullshit, like, oh, it's guns everywhere, it's goddamn crazy, da, 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 like, this mm-hmm. type of lifestyle. I was like, I don't want to be that type of nigga. You know what I'm saying? I ain't no shoot-shoot-bang-bang-ass nigga, bro, but... You know what I'm saying?
That shit is boring as fuck.
Talking about it, bro. I could see if it was something that a nigga had to live like every day, but my life wasn't like that. You know what I'm saying? It was a part of it. You know what I'm saying? I seen the shit.
Yeah.
The way I grew up and shit like that and where I grew up, but that shit just one shit I wanted to like over glorify, bro. But I talk about it just to relay my message and goddamn give all my experiences, but that wasn't like what I wanted to do. I wanted to tell a different story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And just give like a better, like deeper perspective on it. Cause it's like everybody's seen people get shot or seen crazy shit happen, seen people get beat up, seen gang shit, whatever. But it's like, if you don't have an interesting perspective on it, then all that shit is just for nothing. It's just like you hear a kid say like rapping and be like, you know, I shoot a motherfucker in the face. It's like, all right, listen, if you have ever actually shot someone in the face, then there's a lot of probably like interesting emotions that should be associated with doing something so terrible. Give us something, like let us like feel a little bit of that, or you're just lying, which I know you're lying, but not you, but like this person who said that.
Rappers lie, bro.
Oh yeah, that's a big secret.
But I don't know, bro. I don't really judge niggas' music and shit. I don't really like if a nigga getting it. You know what I'm saying? Black, well, I don't give a fuck who you is. If you getting it, you doing some shit like positive, you ain't trying to hurt nobody. I don't really give a fuck. I want niggas to win, but beyond that shit, bro. I don't listen to these niggas at all, bro.
No, I feel that. I mean, just from like a person who seems like they're putting so much like effort and like work into your catalog, it must be kind of like hard to like see people just being willing to accept mediocrity so often, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. Simple shit. That's like it's a genius to simplicity. You know what I'm saying? In a sense, I think Gucci Gang is one of the most genius songs of our generation.
Yeah.
I literally do. I fuck with shit like that. What's D'Angelo's song? I'm in really love with you, bro. I feel like it has like 100 words in it, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's really simple, bro. But that shit holds something. That's like it's a gift to that shit, bro.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. Of all the Lil Pump songs I've ever heard, that I did not know that was gonna be the one that was like a number one hit and shit.
Shit was great.
It was great, but it's just I don't know. Just that one didn't stand out to me.
What you be listening to, bro?
What do I be listening to? That's a good question. I feel like, to be honest, like when I take a step back away from the stuff that I'm listening to because I'm trying to like find out about new shit and everything, I find myself very much going back to the people who I really feel are like kind of at the top of the game. Future. I've been listening to the Drake album like crazy. I listen to Young Thug a shitload just because he's like kind of my favorite rapper, like maybe the last 10 years or something. I listen to a lot of like LA underground dudes like Greedo and Shoreline Mafia and Draco. I appreciate them a lot. Yeah. Like just real LA street rap. But I mean, in general, I feel like, like having listened to so much like bad, like, cause you know, doing a label thing and doing the podcast thing, I just listen to so much bad or like undeveloped shit.
Yeah.
It just makes me want to be like literally the other day, I listened to the fucking Kendrick album, the first one the other day, which I haven't listened to in probably 5 years, even though I listened
Which
to
one?
It. Good Kid, Mad City.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I listened to it 100 times when it came out, and I ain't really listened to it since. But I just was in the mood, like I want to listen to some really, really good shit, like something that's polished, perfectly put together.
Yeah.
You know.
I feel you. My shit is crazy. I listen to a little bit of everything, bro. I love the music that's going on today, but I love old shit too.
What like stands out to you that you heard in recent memory that it was like, man, that dude, he gets it.
Tierra Whack is crazy.
See, I keep seeing that name and I ain't even clicked it yet. I'm gonna be totally honest.
Crazy, you tripping. Rico Nasty, crazy too.
Thank you. I love that you just said that. That's amazing. She's such a cool person, and I feel like out of the current crop of like girl rappers, she's probably the one that I would put my money on.
Yeah, she's crazy.
I love her vibe.
I don't know. I listen to like underground Atlanta shit too. Nigga named 13 Rendo, fire as hell.
Well,
you probably never heard of
him. No, I don't know him. What about like the Gunners and the Little Babies?
Yeah, like that's the A though. You know what I'm saying? I always listen, that shit is in you. You know what I'm saying? That's Little Baby Gunner. Them niggas is great. I listen to all of that shit.
Yeah, there's something about them that I feel like they kind of like seized upon a lot of like thugs' energy, but they like and just are kind of like making bangers with it. You know, like there's just something about like the energy that they have and just that sort of like sing songy like catchy ass trap rap. I don't even know how the fuck to describe it, but they just been. It's like there's a real appetite for whatever the fuck they're doing.
Nah, they niggas hard. I fuck with them niggas. I don't know. Same shit. I just be listening to a lot of different shit, bro.
Yeah.
Trying to goddamn. I don't know. I just like great shit.
I'm gonna throw out that new Key tape too, cause man, that
yeah,
is
yeah, Key shit is crazy.
Kenny
bro.
Beats is phenomenal.
That shit need more eyes to it, bro. Cause that nigga been putting in work for a minute.
The dude who produced it, Kenny Beats, is phenomenal too. He's like a big part. Like Kenny Beats produced a lot of the new Rico tape.
For real.
And he did the whole new Key tape. Like he's like a 6'5" white guy that made a shitload of money doing EDM tours and shit. But he's just a fucking phenomenal producer, and everybody's fucking with him. It's crazy.
Damn, I didn't even know that. I ain't know nothing about.
I'd love to link you up with them, actually.
Link that.
Yeah, so for sure. Okay, so let's talk about what was your mentality going into the project you put out in 2017, which name is escaping me right at this moment. Oh, the
Never Story.
Right.
Yeah.
When you were going into that project, what was your mentality in terms of the statement that you wanted to make and what you wanted to sort of tell the world about yourself at that time?
I sat there and recorded that shit all in my living room. I recorded my shit, and then we got to mix it with mass or whatever. But, I was just telling my whole life story. I guess, like, they say your first project is, like, everything you've been working on, like, your whole life before. Nigga was just broke it up, bro. Nigga was trying to goddamn feed himself. Niggas was trying to goddamn, I don't know, just make something happen. Like, something that ain't never been done as far as, like, my bloodline and family and shit like that. Like, we got, like, talented motherfuckers in my family and shit like that. But I was trying to do something. My squad, like niggas I grew up with, and just changed the complexity of niggas' lives, bro. Like, really, that shit just came from a real ass place, bro. Like, everybody ain't rich and shit like that. Everybody ain't come from a bag. And I was just coming, it's like a common man story, you know what I'm saying? But with my twist on it because of the specific shit I went through and shit like that.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I feel like that album is like, I don't know. It's just even if that's not the album, I feel like that should just set the stage for you to just like have like a crazy ass career. Like you're just sort of setting the stage for you to just like tell your whole story.
Yeah.
And like I heard you say this in an interview, but you feel like you're kind of like holding back sometimes, like you haven't let out all that you have to offer in terms of like your full true potential, and that because you've paid attention to so many other artists that you feel like you are sort of like steadily like giving them yourself.
Yeah.
I like that. I was like, man, that's what it is.
Yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. That shit, that's the type of shit that, I don't know, people could, like, live with, bro. I know, like, I dropped that shit, and I ain't put nothing out since just because I want the motherfuckers to absorb that shit. I want niggas who ain't never heard of me to go back and listen to that shit or whatever, whatever. But we always, like, it's a lot of shit daily. The gun's loaded, you know what I'm saying? Like, niggas got a lot of ammo to put out into the universe.
Hell yeah. What, have you been working on your next project? It's been a minute?
Yeah, it's pretty much done and shit. It's going to be crazy. It's called DiCaprio 2 because I dropped some shit like 2015. It was like a little mixtape or whatever. It's going to be like the second installment of that shit, like some fun shit, like a movie.
In what way do you think it'll be different than the last project you put out? Like what thematically are you trying to do different?
The Never Story was like just that. That shit was a story. You know what I'm saying? This shit is like a movie. But you ever seen like Tales from the Crypt?
Yeah.
A bunch of different like stories inside of one big ass, like, it's just a clusterfuck of different stories. Each song is a story.
Really?
Yeah, it's like on some Tales from Crypt shit, but.
Do you have a lot of admiration for, like, I feel like a lot of times storytelling rap has sort of been left in the dust. Like, motherfuckers don't do that the way they used to. That was always something that, like, you would talk about Big Pun or Nas, and you'd be like, storytelling, man, they were crazy with that shit.
I don't know. This shit is kind of a lost art, but at the same time, like, this project is gonna be, it's gonna be like the first project was like a sequential story. This shit is just gonna be like, it's gonna be fun for the fans and shit. It's like a lot of good raps and a lot of good songwriting ability type shit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's tight. When do you think you're gonna drop it?
Looking at like the fall time. Okay. Late fall probably.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of thing where like you're working closely with Dreamville in terms of like the planning of how you're gonna release it and everything, or are they kind of like, are they not concerned about the album until it's ready to drop it? Like, are they listening to shit and like giving you advice and shit?
They listening. All the shit was already pretty much done, like within my squad and shit like that. Like we Dreamville, but me and Earth Gang got a collective called Spillage Village.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever heard of that shit, but like our team, we be working on our shit, and then we goddamn pass it through the system and shit like that. See how niggas feel about it. Get opinions, but it just depends on how we use. It just depends on how we decide to use them and shit like that. But I've been working with like the same producers and shit like that. Nothing too crazy yet. Because for the next album, like, I'm going to a different place with it.
Crazy. Who do you consider, like, your fans or the people that seem like they gravitate to your stuff the most?
I don't know. It's a different group of fans. I know I got, like, of course, you know what I'm saying, the people that are fans of Cole and shit like that. But alongside of that shit, I got some, like, I don't know. It's, like, hip-hop, like, turn up. I don't know. I don't even know the type. I don't know my fans, bro. I just know they're good people and they follow me and shit.
I bet you got a lot of fans who feel like, thank God for you. Because, like, if it wasn't for you, then they probably would, like, not be as excited about rap because there's a lot of shit that probably don't speak to people.
Nah, my fans is the best in the world. I'm glad they attacked you. I loved it. Every second of it. I was like, yes, go crazy.
But I deserved
it. I didn't see it till later.
Somebody, and meeting you and realizing what a super nice person you are, too, I'm like, God, why? Like, because I'm just in the position where I cannot just make an offhanded remark about somebody who's on the come up, because no matter what, it's just going to make me look like I'm shitting on him. And I can't be like, bro, I just didn't know who he was. It's shut the fuck up.
That's
You're not
internet.
Supposed to say that, bro.
You ain't going to beat the internet, bro.
Nah, definitely not.
You said that, my friends were crazy. And I ain't noticed it till like an hour later. And somebody screenshotted and sent it to me, and I looked on your page and it was gone. I was like, oh, this nigga done deleted the tweet.
Nah, because I still have time. I can still delete it now and it won't be that bad. Because if it's still like a screenshot.
It wasn't even that bad, though. What you said wasn't even that bad. You literally just like.
But it's still disrespectful, you know?
I'm not that sensitive, bro. I know a lot of these niggas are sensitive. I'm not really like tripping on that shit, bro.
I just never want to be. Like, if somebody's rich and famous, then maybe you can go on a podcast or whatever and be like, yo, this dumbass, blah, blah, blah. Look at what he did. That was so stupid. But, like, in terms of, like, up-and-coming artists, I just have realized, and I forgot briefly there, that, like, there's nothing good that can come from me being, like, critical of somebody on the come-up because I need to be, like, helping to advance them instead of, like, finding flaws. It's too easy to find flaws with, like, up-and-coming rappers. I could sit here all day and say, like, watch a new video, be like, this dude's flow sucks. This dude's voice sucks, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just not a good thing to get into because you want to like support him and shit, you know?
Nah, that's real shit, bro. That's why I'm here, so.
Oh, I appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you, bro. This shit cool. As soon as you got them, follow me and we link, woo, like.
I appreciate it. Now, if I had known in advance, that would have been a pretty smart idea to be like, yo, I'm going to say this slick shit on Twitter and then I'm going to get the interview because that'll set it up perfectly.
Yeah.
I wish I had thought of that and it wasn't just an accident.
Nah, it's cool, bro. This shit's right.
Nah, yeah, man. You're a fucking super cool dude. I totally understand why Cole was excited to sign you and stuff. So I appreciate you coming through, man.
Nah, no problem, bro.
You got a message to the world you want to share before we wrap this up?
I don't know. Just get ready for the project. Get ready for the project, bro.
Hey, this is Ben, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Very huge shout out to JID for coming through and doing this interview. Rest in peace, X. Rest in peace, Peep. Rest in peace, Fredo. Combat.
Rest in peace, Wapo.
That's a fact. Thank you. That's a very good addition to that. Thank you guys. And for everybody who's watching this on stream, don't worry. We'll be back in a moment. I'm just going to play a song and get the photos taken of him, and then we'll be back. I'm rolling like an L, please, the guy. I'm rolling like an L, please, the guy.